Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
My name is Joe Biden, and I'm a car guy.
No. No, you're the president. All right, so we are monitoring the situation, which is Joe Biden attempting to make a speech at the Ford plant. He's pushing his spending plan. He is spewing absolute BS, even more so than usual. He's talking about how he and Barack brought back, you know, all these jobs that people had written off, like the car industry, all these plants. And the truth is, which all of you guys know, is that Barack Obama was the one who wrote off all these jobs. He was the one who said, there's no answer to this. These jobs are never going to come back. And you guys out there might remember this more specifically by these two words, magic wand.
For those folks who've lost their job right now because a plant went down to Mexico, you know, that isn't going to make you feel better. And so what we have to do is to make sure that folks are trained for the jobs that are coming in now, because some of those jobs of the past are just not going to come back. And when somebody says, like the person you just mentioned, who I'm not going to advertise for, that he's going to bring all these jobs back, well, how exactly are you going to do that? What are you going to do? There's no answer to it. He just says, well, I'm going to negotiate a better deal. Well, how exactly are you going to negotiate that?
Now, here's the hilarious.
What magic wand do you have? And usually the answer is he doesn't have an answer.
Now, here's the hilarious part of this whole thing is that now, after Trump did exactly that, he made better deals. He brought businesses back to America. Now, Joe Biden, in all his glory, with his trained SEALs out in front of him, masks on, obviously, yucking it up, laughing at all of his hilarious jokes. Now he's taking credit for the magic wand effect.
My name is Joe Biden, and I'm a car guy.
You're something, man. I don't know how I would describe it, but you are something else.
An old jalopy, I believe, is the...
All right, and everything he's saying right now, we will have the audio of this. We're pulling the cuts as it goes. It's just complete, it's lies. All I can think of is, where is Daniel Dale? Glenn Kessler? The fact checkers. You need to come back from vacation. It's been 6 months. You know, you got to be well rested at this point. Can we get a fact check on any of this garbage? Joe, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, Grace. You had mentioned earlier in the show that Cuomo made $100 per book through his advancements and sales. Is that correct?
I think it's if you take the $5 million he made for the book and then you divided it by the actual books he has sold, then it comes out to $100 a book, I believe.
Okay, that caused me to think about, I'm not good with numbers, and maybe a listener or someone on your staff can do this. Can you find out how much money he made from the book divided by all the nursing home deaths?
What do you mean?
He made, what's the name of his book? Leadership?
Oh, I see. Like how much, yeah, I could do that. I mean, Joe, I'm in the same boat as you. I'm not, as Joe Biden would say, or maybe as Daniel Dale would say, I'm not great with the number stuff either. I'm good with the fuzzy math, though. But yeah, I'll do that. I'll come up with something. I'll work on that. I appreciate the call, Joe. I do think that's what it comes down to, though, is that if you take the $5 million, I think he sold like 46,000 copies, maybe less. It comes out to around $100 a book, which is pretty good considering he made $100 per book. And I think you can get the book now for it's got to be in the single digits what you can get it for on Amazon at this point. Paul, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Grace. Talking about Biden's speeches, I was listening to one last week, and in a matter of 10 minutes, he made 18 mistakes. He stumbled over his words 18 times in 10 minutes. And then the kicker was, he said there were airports and airplanes in the Revolutionary War. What a dope.
Yeah, I didn't catch that speech, but I will tune in for it. He's making a lot of these speeches where I don't mind so much the missteps. I mean, I know that that's kind of par for the course at this point, but he's lying about his accomplishments. He wouldn't even own up to the fact that the jobs report was a big miss. Instead, he tried to tell us that that's why we need more spending. And that's what he's doing today at the Ford plant. He's pushing more spending. But if you were to tune in or if you subscribe to the New York Times, everything is hunky-dory. Everything is wonderful. In the Biden White House, the celebrity staff is a thing of the past. Now, this whole piece is dedicated to the fact that, you know, the Trump administration was a reality show. The Biden administration is so much better. And I'm just going to skip around here. Every White House takes on the personality of the president, said Paul Begala, a former advisor to President Bill Clinton. President Clinton didn't mind having famous staffers. He enjoyed it. There's a blue-collar sensibility with Biden and his team. You carry your pail to work. You punch the clock. You just show up every day and do your job. Mr. Biden is also surrounded by less of a cult of personality than his two immediate predecessors. And he talks about how Trump and Obama had charismatic politicians. In the Biden White House, senior officials generally keep their heads down and live more like anonymous bureaucrats than the celebrity staff who have preceded them. During the Clinton administration, operatives like James Carville and George Stephanopoulos entered the government as bona fide movie stars after their turns in the war room. Times have changed. And then they, you know, they mentions the fact there's not as many soirees to go to. Nerd prom has been canceled numerous times, unfortunately. Aides say Mr. Biden does not like profiles of his staff in the news media, but he is eager to see his cabinet secretaries on television defending his property. That is a very deliberate decision, said Anita Dunn, a senior advisor to Mr. Biden. This is a president who wanted to make sure he had a cabinet that was fully empowered. Mr. Biden's current aides say they eventually solved that problem by surrounding himself with low-key people who knew they were not gurus. And they're definitely not gurus. Even officials who entered the administration with a profile of their own, like Simone D. Sanders, by the way, she had a write-up in, I think, the Washington Post last week. A one-time CNN commentator who is now an advisor to Vice President Kamala Harris has become less visible. Ron Klain, the White House chief of staff, said the lack of well-known personalities in the West Wing was attributable to a tone Mr. Biden had set. The vast majority of people here are career staff people. You know what that's code for? Career staff people. I'll give you one guess, Jared. Go ahead.
Hacks.
If you looked up hacks on Google, it would say career staff people.
With a swamp plankton hanging off of the alligator.
Many of the staff were parents of young kids who put their off hours energy into being parents, not into staff drama. Not TJ Ducklow. T.J. Ducklow couldn't stay away from the drama. He will destroy you. I love those pieces. I'm never going to get sick of reading these fluff and utter type pieces about Joe Biden, because what we see here on the screen is very different from what the New York Times wants us to believe. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
And what we just saw on the screen was a gigantic teleprompter when they panned the crowd. Whoops, camera guy.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Jared. Remember John, that 10-year-old who gave the speech about the masks? We played him in the first hour. Maybe we'll play him a little bit more as the show goes on. But I'd be curious what that caller thinks watching Joe Biden right now. Because I'm not a betting person. You know this. But I'm going to venture to say that teleprompter you just saw, probably had his speech on it. He was probably reading from it.
And it was not orange crayon. It was actually an image. So Joe didn't do it.
And furthermore, speaking of John, the fourth grader, I bet somebody helped Biden write this speech. I'm going to guess he didn't write it himself. So everything he's saying right now, moot point. Now, when we get back, we'll take your calls on this 844-500-4242. We will have some sound from this. And I have a crazy story out of Virginia I want to tell you guys about. You know, Diversity University? It's moving from universities into Little League, if you can buy that. Don't go anywhere. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Warmer temps are creeping up, and you're going to want to open those doors and windows. Pollen is going to come in, and when it does, you're going to need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. One user wrote, the Thunderstorm does what it claims. It really does, right, Jared? I mean, you experience this because you have allergies. I know it works with my kitchen smells, but tell us a little bit about how it works with the pollen.
Yeah, what it actually does is it cleans, it purifies the air around you, and it actually ionizes that air to create super oxygen. So it gets rid of pollen, gets rid of allergens, it gets rid of viruses, anything nasty that's hanging in the air. So you're breathing clean, fresh air, which is huge for people who have breathing problems.
Alrighty. Yes, indeed. And many use it to remove pet smells for pollen, pet kitchen, musty basements, tobacco, or any unwanted odors. You need the Thunderstorm. And right now, you can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE and you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put code word GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE. I will be back. Joe Biden he's officially done with his speech. He has waved his magic wand and he is taking credit yet again for all of Trump's accomplishments.
All while wearing a mask inside.
He never fails to disappoint. Isn't that the truth? We will be back on this beautiful Tuesday. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the whiskey priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
My dad used to say, Joey, and I swear to God, when he left Scranton, when coal died, my dad was he was a salesperson. He wasn't a coal miner. My great-grandpop was, but.
Great-grandpop. Huh? Not to be confused with corn pop. Yeah, I don't know. I have no answers for that. What I do know is that there's got to be some people right now, Jared, who are feeling like I may have made a huge mistake. This might have been a bad move. You know, as gas prices soar, as Biden keeps coming out and talking utter nonsense, there's a variety of things. As he wears a mask when he's outside picking dandelions, but not when he's sitting on Jimmy Carter's lap. There's a lot of different things about this guy that make you go, was this the right move? You know, were the mean tweets that bad? You know, like, could I have dealt with the mean tweets if it meant my wallet was going to be so much heavier? And that got me thinking. People have to be having regrets. I follow a lot of accounts that just post Biden. It's called Biden voters posting their L's, posting their losses. And it's like them admitting that, yikes, I made a big mistake. And so I put together a little something. I hope you guys enjoy it. We'll use a shortened version of this from now on. But for the initial premiere of this segment, I wanted to do a little montage for you guys. Take it away, Jared.
I've had a few.
Big miss on jobs. Worst miss, we're told, since 98.
Gas and patience running low at the pump.
I have been here now for an hour and 15 minutes.
I've made a huge mistake.
The border crisis is showing absolutely no signs of slowing down.
Well, I'm sick and tired of smart guys.
Oh, God, what have I done?
President Biden signing an executive order to establish a commission that will study whether to add seats to the Supreme Court.
The president has no intercourse whatsoever with the rest of the world.
Do you miss me yet? Do you miss me?
Do you have any regrets? Do you know anyone who has any regrets? And if you need even more inspiration, I'm going to play for you Jen Psaki, because I think Jen Psaki is a daily reminder that we elected an administration that really, I call her the press secretary of semantics. All she does all day long is spin. She's, you know, and that's the part of it that kind of blows my mind, is that the Trump administration, they got so much heat for being like alternative facts. Remember Kellyanne Conway said that? And people thought they were just spin machines. But they actually were very proud, whether you agreed or disagreed, they were proud of their administration's policies, of the agenda they set. And they would talk about it all the time. They would constantly, you notice that Trump leading up to the election would constantly list his accomplishments because he knew nobody else was going to. The Biden administration is constantly trying to avoid actually ever saying anything. You know, they talk in complete circles, courtesy of Jen Circleback Psaki. Now, she's talking here about the Middle East. If you've been following Israel-Palestine, there's a massive conflict. It's been going on for much longer than I've been around, and it's getting very, very sad, and it's just horrific what's happening. And obviously, Hamas is, you know, they really have escalated this, and Israel is defending herself, which she has every right to do. But Jen Psaki wants you to know, and I have to say, I can't follow this mindset, because like right when this started happening, David Frum from The Atlantic came out and said, oh, remember when Jared Kushner and Donald Trump bragged about creating peace in the Middle East? And I'm like, hold on a second. Donald Trump's not the president anymore. So you can't pin this on Donald Trump. When Donald Trump was president, there was peace in the Middle East. What happens afterwards is no longer part of his gig. From. Now listen to what Jen Psaki had to say about it. Cut 22.
Again, I would say that we are not following the same tactics of the prior administration. The president has reinstated humanitarian assistance and security assistance to the Palestinians. That's something that was stopped back in 2018, and we felt was not a constructive action by the prior administration. Aside from putting forward a peace proposal that was dead on arrival, we don't think they did anything constructive, really, to bring an end to the longstanding conflict in the Middle East. So,
well, you know, I mean, I hate to be the one to break this to Jen, but it was working out better for them than it is for you guys. I love how she says, we're not following any of the tactics. It's like, yeah, no, we know. We see that, Jen.
Clearly, we see the rockets. Yes, we get it.
We all see the thousands of rockets coming from the Gaza Strip into Israel. We understand what's happening here. And then for her to say, oh, no, we're actually, this is what we've been doing that's so different from the Trump administration. It's like, well, maybe that's part of the problem. Do I have to be the one to explain it? I mean, I'm not a foreign policy expert over here, but I even understand if you had 4 years of peace and then you guys show up and everything starts breaking down, some people might start connecting the dots, Jen. She's like, we don't take advice from the Trump administration. Maybe you should. All right. When we get back, we have producer's picks, obviously, but we just have a lot of stuff to get to. I really like this. This entire mindset of the left now is like, how do we move on past masks? How do we deal with this? And in my mind, this is the fun part. You know, this is the easy part. This is the ripping it off like a Band-Aid part of the thing. But for them, it's like, it's like taking away a security blanket. I like this headline in the Babylon Bee. Democrats wearing binkies to wean themselves off masks. They need something. They need something to hold on to. And I don't think it's going to be masks, because according to a lot of different leaders, the masks are coming off. Even Mayor Kim Janey announced that they're lifting mask restrictions in Boston as of May 29th. So it's over. It's over. I don't know how else to break it to people. Hopefully you all find something else to rally around. I once again will say, the badges. Someone can come up with the I Hate Donald Trump badges, and you guys can wear those as a show of solidarity. You don't even have to give me any of the money from it. This is a free business idea. Are you listening, David Hogg? All right, we will be back with producer's picks. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Hurley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Joe Biden just finished up a speech at the Ford plant. My dad just texted me and said, just thinking, Joe Biden's poor father. He either has him staring at the ceiling without a job or calling him a salesman. He's got the poor guy out to be Willie Loman. He really does. The dad's always staring at the ceiling. It's a common theme in these speeches. Turns out his grandpop is a coal miner. Not sure if that is true or if that is from someone else's speech. We will find out as time goes by.
Grandpa Kinnock did.
I'm not a fact checker, and I don't pretend to be one. I leave that to the experts. All right, without further ado, it is time for Producer's Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day, Producer's Picks.
All right, this is the time of the show where my producer, Jared Diglio, tells us exactly what's on his mind. Take it away, Jared.
All right, well, sad news to start off. I know most of us have pretty much soured on Hollywood at this point, but Charles Grodin has passed away at the age of 86. Very accomplished actor, The Heartbreak Kid, Heaven Can Wait, The Great Muppet Caper, Seems Like Old Times, great movie, Midnight Run. Grace, you may remember as the dad from Beethoven, the big dog.
Oh, yes!
Yeah. Charles Grodin has passed away at 86. It appears natural causes. It hasn't been really put out. This just broke maybe 20 minutes ago. Charles Grodin has passed on at the age of 86.
Oh, I love that movie Beethoven. That was a classic.
And Neil Simon, Seems Like Old Times. I believe it was 1980. Chevy Chase, Goldie Hawn. Great movie. Highly, highly recommend. That's a very funny movie. Charles Grodin has passed away at the age of 86. All right, moving on to more ridiculousness. Penn State University, the Nittany Lions, have decided they are ditching male-centric titles, such as freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior, in an effort to move away from male-centric academic history. I'm old enough to remember some other male-centric stuff you should move away from. But that's just me. Anyway, the Penn State's Faculty Senate approved the proposition, which represents all faculty at the university. They voted 125-13 to enact the proposal for the removal of gendered and binary terms from course and program descriptions.
I know I say this a lot, but isn't there something else people could spend their time on? I mean, this just seems... the saddest part is I'm sure they have several chancellors and, you know, senior members of the faculty that are spending their time doing all of this work. I'm using air quotes, but this requires a brain trust to figure this out.
This brain trust decided that junior and senior and such words are parallel to Western male father-son naming conventions.
What's wrong with Western male father-son naming conventions?
That sounds like white supremacist talk, Grace. Careful. They suggest that students who are beyond their fourth year of schooling be referred to as advanced standing students, as opposed to super seniors, which I've never heard, by the way. But apparently that is a negative connotation for those taking longer than the typical 4 years.
Very interesting. Jared, can I give you a Grace Curley alert?
You may.
The opening statements are underway in the Durst trial right now. Did you ever watch that show, The Jinx?
I haven't seen that, no.
I'm
familiar with the Durst, but I...
No, you got to watch The Jinx.
The Jinx? Okay.
It was like a six-part series on HBO. That is your TV recommendation of the day from Grace Curley. If you guys don't know this, I'm a true crime fanatic. I love true crime. Actually, I know a great... podcast you can check out, Dirty Rats. But no, The Jinx was really good. I remember watching it and just being like, oh my God, this guy is a strange dude. It gets stranger and stranger.
He is definitely a strange character.
He is a strange dude.
So Grace, have you heard about the Riot Squad?
I have not.
Okay, so...
Most things Jared brings up in his news, I have not heard about.
Have you heard about The Intercept, the website publication?
Yes.
Okay, well, Intercept writer has attacked the journalists who are in Portland and other areas covering the riots and violence. He calls them the Riot Squad.
But they're covering the riots.
Well, they are far-right reporters tasked with painting agitators and extremists in a bad light by showing what has actually happened.
Oh, like Andy Ngo.
Yes, Andy Ngo.
Who we've had on the show before.
Who I don't believe Andy Ngo specifically is in the Riot Squad, as was mentioned in The Intercept. But yes, people like Andy Ngo and others who do their journalistic job and actually show what is going on. They're the Riot Squad. They're just trying to paint BLM and Antifa in bad light by showing the riots that they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, they do a lot of that painting themselves. And to be fair, CNN and MSNBC, they do more than enough work to try to paint them as peaceful and wonderful groups. I remember at one point, I think it was, I'm blanking on his name, he was standing in front of a burning building. Was it Ali Velshi?
Yes, it was Ali Velshi.
And he's like, "This, you know, it's pretty peaceful here." And there's literally a burning building behind him. So it goes both ways, you know. Some people are showing you the bad side. Some people are standing in front of the bad side telling you that there's no bad side. So it just depends on what you like to watch. And based off the ratings, it would seem as though the Ali Velshis of the world are not as compelling TV.
Good news out of North Korea. Kim Jong-un has banned skinny jeans over fears of a, quote, decadent fashion, which could topple the regime.
I mean, I don't want to get into the fashion trends because I don't really consider myself a fashion plate. But I do know this because my younger sister is Gen Z, and at one point I was on TikTok. Skinny jeans are out anyway. I mean, if you're following the trend, skinny jeans are already on their way out. So the fact that they're just banning them, do they think that they're in? Because they're out.
Well, that also follows because in addition to the skinny jeans, he has banned mullets in his latest efforts to keep the young people under control.
See, I don't think mullets ever go in style or out of style. Like if you're someone
you're around the 80s. Ugh.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm just thinking of the people I know with mullets.
Now, hockey players.
They don't go based off, you know, the fashion. But you're right. Yeah, they did have a moment in the 80s.
Oh, God. The worst was the spiky with the mullet in the back. And then rat tails were also just terrible. 80s. What were we thinking in the 80s?
Skinny. Can we just go back to the skinny jeans for a sec, though? Because skinny jeans are out. And I know that. Like, I'm hit with that every single day online, social media. But what happens if you already? What happens if you already have a bunch? You know, like what am I supposed to do? Just buy a bunch of new jeans, flared, wide leg, look like I'm prepping for a flood.
And also, this is North Korea. How many average North Korean citizens have skinny jeans? Like, don't most of them wear just like the party rags that are handed out while they're toiling in the fields for their dear leader?
North Korea makes me so sad because every time I hear a story about Kim Jong-un, I mean, it's easy to laugh at some of the crazy things he does, but it's awful what happens over there.
No, that is a terrible place. Terrible place to be. Speaking of fashion missteps, did you see Dirk Commissar de Blasio today?
Oh, gosh. Right? Speaking of the trends, speaking of wanting to look like a Gen Zer.
Oh, fresh off his I'm going to talk with food in my mouth, eating some fries, vaccine presser last week. Everybody's favorite lame duck put the capital lame in lame today when he came out for his press conference wearing a Brooklyn Nets hat. Okay, whatever. But also a Brooklyn Nets jersey underneath what appears to be a blue dress shirt.
All right, I have a lot to say, obviously. De Blasio, I have a theory. De Blasio is so revved up at the fact that for one time, over the past 10 years, this is the first time that he is not the most hated man in New York. And he is just riding that wave, but too much so. Like, it's okay to not be the most hated man, but don't forget, de Blasio, you're close. You are close. Obviously, you're never going to reach the Andrew Cuomo stage because he's on a whole nother level. But you don't have to push the limits. You know, like, he's too excited about the fact that Andrew Cuomo is now more hated than him that he thinks he can just start talking into microphones with a mouthful of cheeseburger and wearing crazy outfits. No, we haven't gotten to that point, Bill.
Yes, I believe he is wearing a James Harden jersey, it looks like, number 13. I think that's James Harden, as they gear up for the playoffs, the Brooklyn Nets do.
It always looks like he's on SNL or something. Like, it's the opening sketch of SNL.
Yes, he's like working on his tight five for the Comedy Shop or something like that.
Yeah, and he's got this smile on his face. It's, you know, I get that he's excited, okay? He basically went on like an album release tour when Cuomo had a downfall.
He looks like he's about to drop a new LP.
When people started reporting on Cuomo, he was the most excited person. He was like, yes, finally, I emerge as the most popular politician in New York. But take it easy, you know, pump the brakes a little bit.
It's Billy's time to shine. All right. On this day in 1917, the Selective Service Act was passed ahead of our involvement in World War I. So that allowed the President of the United States to engage in conscription of males to go fight wars. So basically the draft.
Got it.
1917 today, they passed a resolution that started the draft, which has been out of effect since 1972. And formally canceled, I think, in 75. Also on this day in 1980, Mount St. Helens erupted in Washington State, killing 57 people and causing $3 billion in damage.
$3
billion? $3 billion. In 1980 dollars, causing $3 billion, not in Joe Biden fake money numbers.
That's crazy.
Yes. On this day in 2017, Roger Ailes passed away, as did Chris Cornell, the lead singer of Soundgarden. So they both died today in 2017.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
These producers' picks are starting to, they're bordering on being very morbid lately. you just in the course of this last 20 minutes have, you've done about five obituaries.
And people are dying. Have you been out in the streets?
I think we need to line it up here. I'm going to have to start.
All right. Pope John Paul II was born this day in 1920. There you go. Bright spot.
All right. I guess. I mean, yeah, no, that's good. But it's like, you're still in the red today. I'm going to have to start reviewing these and be like, Jared, you only get two deaths per producer's pick.
All right, fine. Target has pulled Pokemon sports cards off their shelves after a violent dispute over the trading card game.
And that's supposed to cheer us up? Our Pokemon fans out there are going to turn the radio off. They're so depressed at this point.
It's the worst thing to happen to Squirtle since the Hunter Biden hard drive. That's all I'm going to say.
Lord. All right, well, when we get back, hopefully Howie Carr will brighten up our Tuesday. It's a beautiful day here in New England, despite the torrential downpour of sad news from Jared Diglio. When we get back, we will be talking to Howie all about Biden's latest presser and also what he thinks of Mayor Kim Janey's latest announcement. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
We have the lowest numbers of active cases since we began tracking over a year ago in April of 2020. This is because of the efforts Boston residents have made together. Because of this progress, I am making the decision to align with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and lift the COVID restrictions on May 29th. But let me be clear. Our battle against COVID is not over. Reopening our city will only work if we all continue to do our part to fight the pandemic.
Oh, she got in a lot of Charlie Baker lines right there. That was Mayor Kim Janey. Do our part. Let me be clear. The battle is not over. It
what
seems like it's ending, though.
What about the protocols and the regimens and following the science?
My hair's on fire.
Yeah, there's no following the signs. And actually, I have Howie Carr here. You guys know him well. He's in his Howie Carr sweatshirt today. He's got a great show planned for you guys. But one thing I want to ask you about, Howie, I really want to get your take on, is this following cut from Fauci. You mentioned that he wasn't on the weekend shows as much as he usually is, but he was on GMA today. And he basically admitted that this all was pandemic theater, just like Rand Paul had said, Cut six.
Well, you know, George, I'm obviously careful because, I mean, I'm a physician and a healthcare provider. I am now much more comfortable in people seeing me indoors without a mask. I mean, before the CDC made the recommendation change, I didn't want to look like I was giving mixed signals.
As opposed to saying last March you didn't need a mask and then you needed one mask and then you needed two masks. That wasn't giving mixed signals.
Don't forget the opening day, the big pitch that we all saw,
right.
Unfortunately.
Right. His girl softball delivery and followed by going into the stands and just taking off the mask.
Yeah, it's the hypocrisy is insane, and it's funny to see him just admitting now that it was all optics, saying I didn't want it to look like this or seem like this.
And yet, the thing is, what's more sad, I think, is that some people are still buying into this scam. You walk out on the street or you drive out of the parking lot here, and there are people walking with masks on. There are people driving by themselves with the windows up wearing masks. They haven't gotten the memo that it was all a hoax and a scam.
Yeah, and the thing I want to say here is that obviously there are people who are scared and there are people who have, you know, let this become something in their minds, but I don't think those people are really the issue here. I think the issue is the regular people who know that they're vaccinated, that they cannot get this anymore, that they're not in danger, and they're just wearing the mask, so they're not the only one not wearing the mask in the stores. Like, if a store allows you to take your mask off, consider it now your duty.
Your patriotic duty,
your
as
patriotic
they say.
Duty. To not wear your mask and show people that we need to get back to regular life. As Joe Biden said, you've earned the right to smile.
Yes.
Did you know that, Howie?
Oh, that was nice of him to give us that right.
I bet you don't even remember when you lost the right.
No, but I'm a car guy.
Yeah. Aren't we all? You actually are a car guy. That's the difference.
I'm waiting for the first person to come up to me and say, you know what? I'm a bus guy.
Yeah, he was giving a speech today at the Ford plant. I'm sure they'll have a lot of sound for your show,
oh,
Howie.
Yeah.
But he's taking credit for bringing all these jobs back. I remember, I'm old enough now to remember when Obama said it couldn't be done.
Yeah.
These jobs were never coming back. You needed a magic wand to bring them back.
And I seem to recall that in the last 4 months, a couple of U.S. automotive car plants, for car guys like us, have moved to Mexico, haven't they?
Huh. We have to get to the root causes of that issue.
It's Donald Trump's fault.
Get Kamala Harris on the case. She's the root cause problem solver. All right, I'll be back tomorrow. Don't miss Howie's show. He's got a lot planned for you guys. Thanks for tuning in. This has been The Grace Curley Show.